Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Bert Show.
Oh, bless his heart. So the reason why I was out for a day, was it a day? Last week was I drove to Savannah to be by my kid's side during his very first breakup.
Oh man.
Bless his little heart.
I remember that.
So when it comes to dating, my kid's been a bit of a late bloomer, right? And I want to be really careful here also about what I say because he's sheepish about me sharing his life on the air. So I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of details. But really, just over the course of the last couple of days and watching him go through this breakup and deal with all the emotions, God just brought back so many memories that we all have had from that first breakup, you know, like... He doesn't understand, like, waking up in the morning and your first thought is her or him, you know? And then you can't get your mind off of that. And the physicality of it, the nerves he's feeling all day long about, and then wanting to, like, throw up all day long and not being able to eat or be able to focus on anything. And what's worse is that he's got, like, finals this week also.
Oh. Horrible timing.
So it's like life doesn't care, you know? So I ran down there to try to comfort him through this whole thing. And you know, he's in his 20s now, and this was a very significant relationship for him. It was a cross the country relationship, so it was difficult from the start, but that doesn't even matter. Just, and he's a very, very sensitive kid also. So do you guys remember the very first? And I tried to tell him also, like, everything that you're experiencing right now, man, I know this really feels bad because it's the very first time, but anytime that you are in love and you are vulnerable and you think that you, I mean, he thought he was going to spend the rest of his life with this girl, right? Mm-hmm. That anytime you go through a breakup like this, man, this is what it feels like. For me, it didn't get any easier the amount of times I broke up.
Yeah, the first one is usually the worst one. That's what they say. And for me, it definitely was because I just felt like life was over. It felt like my whole life is ending. And you kind of don't feel like you have a sense of a purpose anymore because, like you said, every thought is about her. That's the person you go to talk about all of the smallest things throughout your day. And then you got to kind of come to this realization that, like, I can't call this person anymore. This person is not going to be there for me anymore. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you just got to go through it. You know, time is really all that can help. I remember my mom and my friends trying to console me, but it really was just a matter of just getting through it the best way that I could. And I think it gets a little easier as you grow older and realize that every relationship is just not meant to be forever. But that first one, it stings pretty deeply.
Yeah, I think people are starting to wake up to the fact that a breakup can really be related to grief. And there's so many things that you have to grieve when it comes to a breakup. You have to grieve, A, the person that you lost because they're still alive and you know that they're out there. And that's in some way frustrating in the sense that you feel like there's still some modicum of control left. Like, oh, I could still call them up. I could still reach out to them, but they're still gone. Like, they're out of your life. You have to grieve the future that you thought you were going to have, all the plans that you were going to make, the security, the comfort of having that person. But then I also feel like you have to grieve the person that you were with them. I feel like that's one of the reasons that we fall in love with people is A, because you love them, but also you love who you become around them. And that's a part of yourself that dies and you have to now rebuild yourself on top of not wanting to be in the situation because you didn't choose this and having to grieve that person.
And his social group is very small. So he's also lost a best friend and somebody that he really spent most of his social time online talking to or on the phone talking to. So he's lost both.
I feel that my first big love was my best friend, and it split up our friend group. And I remember when we broke up, I couldn't get out of bed. I was missing class. I got depressed. I would throw up when I thought about him. All of these things. But the way it, and you're right, there's nothing you can do except go through it. And time, I hate time heals all wounds, but it kind of does. Yeah. But here's a hack that I did find was helpful, because what would happen is I would still call him every day. Like, it would still go through the motions. And all that did was he would be doing the things that we had planned together with other people. And it hurt so bad. And finally, I mean, he called. He's like, we can't keep talking like this. We gotta split. And so I found finding a new routine and new habits, because it was so routine to pick up the phone and call him because it was long distance. Substituting something else for that I would get in that rhythm. So whenever I found myself picking up the phone, I'd go do this other thing instead. Like, I think for me back then, it was like go for a run. It just kind of helped establish those new routines and wean me off needing that other person.
Yeah, and there were a lot of positives that kind of came out of it also. I'm really proud of how we all handled it as a family, because Stacey and I were on the phone with them last night. Her significant other, Joe, was involved in it. Amanda was giving advice also. So there's a lot of positives also that I was trying to teach him last night, that I know you're hurting right now. And then we went through the whole back and forth friendship thing. Can we be friends? And I'm like, man, I tell you what, the only regret that I really have when it came to breaking up with women was that I held on way too long when I knew it was over. Just thinking that it would get better and fighting. He's got his mom and dad's fighting spirit. Like, he don't like to fail, right? So he's pushing the can down the road. And I was telling him, like, this is a really good lesson here. Like, once you know, you kind of know. Yeah. So that was the first thing. And the second thing is, like, clean breaks, man, is really what you got to do, because especially with this first one, and this is really hard because we are talking about his best friend also, and they're going to want to go online and they're going to want to talk about games and anime or whatever. There's connecting them or whatever. And I'm like, it doesn't work, man, because your feelings are going to get mixed up and nothing is really changing in the relationship. It was the distance between the two of them that was really at the heart of this whole thing. And that's not going to change. You just got to start, like, the self-esteem foundation, the blocks of your self-esteem are built from this point forward. So it's not really, he was great in the relationship. I'm so proud of who he was. Very vulnerable, very loving, very giving, very sensitive. And now with the breakup, I said to him, you gave everything, man. You did nothing wrong. It's a space thing. It is a time thing. Mm-hmm. And the way you deal with the breakup now moving forward is really going to be one of the building blocks of self-esteem for you moving forward. So don't take this as an L, man. This can be a W from this point forward. And he really seemed to understand that.
Yeah, I mean, breakups are tough. And no one has sat through more breakup stories than me having a breakup podcast. And even though it's tough when you're sitting in that pain, there is light. It will get better. No one has ever been broken from a breakup forever, I don't think. So you just got to...
Maybe one or two
people. Maybe one or two people, but they're the outlier. They're the outlier.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Waitlist by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Producer Jackson here is about to tell us when we are all going to die. Why would he do that? Because Jackson ruins everything.
Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Why do you have to ruin everything, Jackson?
Jackson ruins everything, including life. Okay, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, while I'm ruining everything, why not ruin the entire world? Literally, okay? So at the end of last year in December, there was a discovery made by NASA scientists of an asteroid called 2024 YR4, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It made a little bit of a close pass by Earth, about two times out the distance of our moon. And we picked up on it, and they started running some projection models on it, okay? Now, these asteroids have an orbit that go around and around and around, and, you know, the smart people over at NASA go and look at these models, and they try and predict where this asteroid is going to end up. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay?
Now, when an asteroid, just so I'm clear, when an asteroid of any size reaches Earth, it's going to affect the entire globe?
Not necessarily.
Okay, so we have a chance.
We have a chance, okay? So this one in particular is estimated to be between about, I think, 150 and 300 feet long, okay?
Okay, size of a football field, Mo.
Got it. Doesn't sound too crazy, but to give you a little bit of context, the one that hit, so there was this event that happened in Russia in 1908 that's known as the Tunguska event, and a very similarly estimated sized asteroid actually exploded right over this area of Siberia, and it flattened like 2,000 square kilometers of forest completely.
That's scary.
And it's very fortunate that it happened in the middle of literally nowhere, to the point where it wasn't even, they didn't even know what had happened until years later when some people were walking through the area and were like, what happened here? Like, the whole forest was pretty much flattened, right? So this one in particular, they're trying to run these models on where it's going to end up. And initially they were like, maybe we need to be a little bit concerned. They gave it a 1.5% chance of hitting the Earth in 2032 when it makes its second flyby by Earth.
Okay. 1.5 doesn't sound like very much. However, when you're playing the lottery and it says you have 0.000% chance or 1%, you're like, well, at least there's a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to ruin Jackson's segment because I have high anxiety. I'm the kind of girl who found out the Mayan calendar ended in 2012 and prayed every single night for 5 years that that wasn't true. The threat is now zero as of 3 hours ago.
I was getting there, Cassie.
Okay, Cassie ruins everything.
I was building up the story.
I needed to let my high anxiety folks know they were going to be okay. Otherwise, I'd be praying every night until 2032 that an asteroid did not hit the Earth.
If I had a dime for every time you killed a bit before we got to the punchline, I'd have two dimes, which isn't a lot.
Actually, I think you'd have 30 cents.
Okay, well, ignore that fact for now. Because those were initial estimates of the 1.5%.
This is like being in a courtroom where the judge says, you didn't hear that. That is not admissible.
Retract that statement. Yeah, exactly. Keep that off the records for us, please. So then a couple days after they made that initial estimate, they went and they did another, and they were analyzing it again, and then they realized that it was a 1 in 32 chance of hitting the Earth.
1 in 32 or 1 in 32 million?
1 in 32. That is a 3.1% chance.
Okay. Keeping in mind that we're not listening to what Cassie said, that is terrifying.
Yes.
I hope it goes down to zero.
Wouldn't that be something?
And so they're able to track with, you know, some degree of accuracy. Obviously, these are estimates. And so the estimated arrival was going to be December 22nd of 2032. And that's when this was supposed to supposedly potentially make impact on Earth.
Dang, and it was right before Christmas like that?
I know. Why would they do it like that?
That's foul, man.
I know. The asteroid needs to, you know, catch a hint.
Religiously, it makes some sense.
Good point.
That is true. And it was going to land somewhere a little bit north of the equator. So they were predicting a little bit north of South America, through the Atlantic Ocean, Central Africa, and also some parts of South Asia. Okay. That's kind of this band of where they thought it was going to happen. Now, this isn't one of those planet-ending asteroids, but obviously it would cause a pretty significant amount of damage, right?
Yeah, okay. Now, if it was going to land somewhere in the United States and, like, take out a, I don't know, like a, I don't know,
don't
some
do
parts
it.
Of...
Come on.
Okay. I was going to say Rhode Island.
Who needs them, right? But yes, Cassie, to your point, after they've been very much looking very intently at this, to the point where it was enough of a concern, it became the highest risk asteroid that they've ever detected, ever. And so there's this space telescope that's up there orbiting Earth right now called the James Webb Telescope. It's the most powerful telescope that we have right now.
Jimmy Webb, smart guy.
He is an absolute genius, and they actually had to use all of the resources on that telescope to, like, further analyze this asteroid to really make sure that we weren't actually, you know, potentially headed for a disaster.
I'm not worried. We got Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Hop up on that thing. Listen.
Do we?
I feel...
Come on. This is a family show.
I do feel bad that I stole the anxiety out of your bit. So I will say that currently there is a space program on Earth that allows its rockets to tumble free fall anywhere on Earth, re-entry from space.
Really?
Uh-huh. Although really only 10% of Earth is inhabited by humans, which is why they do it. But it literally could land anywhere from New York City to the middle of the ocean.
Okay, so that maybe makes up for you ruining this in the first place.
Yeah,
okay.
The anxiety.
Right, keep going.
And speaking of heightening the anxiety, yes, you're right. They did another analysis, and they're basically saying it's a 0% chance. It's like 0.000 whatever that it's going to hit Earth. But there is now an added risk that it's actually going to hit the moon. And it's a 1.7% chance of hitting the moon now.
Now, so if you're thinking that's not going to affect us, yeah, the moon does have an effect on the Earth.
The moon is very important for Earth.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. So I'm not really sure what to take from that, except we're not in the clear.
We would get another moon because the theory is the moon is actually from the Earth originally. Like, aww, it's not a separate entity. Like, the rocks kind of match up. It's like with Mars.
It's like a little Earth baby.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have two moons instead.
I know. And even if it hit the moon, if it put out enough debris, it could put a ring system around the Earth. That'd be kind of cool.
Features unlocked.
Like a crazy-ass roller coaster.
I know.
I like the idea.
Earth Update 2032 is going to be great.
When the Earth gets a ring before me.
The Burt Show.
I'm going to need a little bit of an update here, Mo. So about an hour ago, we had a Burt Show listening couple come in here that said that they were great at spades. They said undefeated, taking on Mo and Katie, who are not only the Burt Show champs, but are the radio station champs, taking you guys on. Guys been out there for about an hour now, and although we are in an airtight studio, I can hear some S talking going on out there, some laughter going on out there, some disappointment going on out there.
Right.
So where are we standing?
Well, I think Katie and I went into it humbly, understanding that they might have just a little more chemistry than us. They probably have more history than us. They've been playing together longer. And
10-year anniversary.
Right, exactly that. Katie and I haven't played together in quite some time. We haven't practiced together, but we wouldn't let that stop us from going out here and creating a competition, right? So that's what we did. And I'll tell you this, before we get to whatever the end results will be in an hour, there was a point in the round when my man looked at his wife and said, what's that word when people come in acting like they haven't played in a while and then they start kicking your butt? And she said hustled. I think the word you're looking for is hustled.
Uh-huh.
So that should give you an idea of exactly how it was, what's really going on out there right now. All right?
And I want to keep in mind here, they said they were undefeated.
Never lost. No one has ever beat them.
All right. We got an hour.
An hour left. I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's still a lot of game to be played. But yours truly and Katie are playing very well out there.
Feeling yourself right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, let's get to this email here real quick, because she says she used to be promiscuous, right? Those days are kind of behind her now, but she's going into this weekend. She's got a really difficult decision to make and wants our help. Go for it, Cass.
Hey, Bird Show. I love you guys and listen every morning, so I figured you'd be the perfect people to ask for advice. I don't really want to be on the air, though, so if you could just read my email and give me some advice and motivation, I'd appreciate it. I've been living my best life in the dating scene for a while now, and I won't lie, I've had a lot of fun. I've always been the why not kind of girl when it comes to dating, never holding back if there was attraction and chemistry. But the thing is, as much as I've enjoyed myself, it hasn't exactly led to a serious, lasting relationship. I've had situationships, one-night stands, flings, booty calls, and a few guys who seemed promising but never actually committed. Lately, I've been taking a step back and realizing that maybe my approach hasn't been working in my favor. My friends have been telling me for a while that I should slow down and let a connection build before jumping into bed. And at first, I brushed it off, but the more I look at my track record, the more I think they might be right. So I've decided to change things up and try dating differently. Less impulsive, more intentional. I'm a recovering slut. Her words, not mine.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Here's where I need your help. This weekend, I'm going out with a total hottie. Like, seriously, my type.
Must be nice.
Normally, I'd go with the flow and let whatever happens happen. But this time, I really don't want to sleep with him. And not because I don't want to, because trust me, I do. But because I know that rushing into things hasn't worked out for me in the past. I want to keep things classy and actually build something real for once. So how do I stick to my new mindset without killing the vibe? How do I resist temptation when I know I'll be feeling it? And how do I show that I'm interested without making it seem like I'm playing games? Basically, how do I be a lady in the streets and in the sheets?
So for me here, if I'm dating somebody and it's getting to that point and they say they are not comfortable yet going that route, deal is off, man. I mean, that's the one place that you should feel more safe than anywhere else, right? So if you're not comfortable with your safe and you don't, or with yourself, and you're not into it, don't, that is not a place for compromise.
Well, I think for the first date, maybe take the pressure off of it, because more than likely, something's probably not going to happen. I don't think most people go into a first date expecting for something to go straight to the bedroom. So maybe take the pressure off for that. But moving forward, like, I think you've just really got to lean into yearning, bring back pining, bring back wanting something that's not there yet. And I think when, if you focus more on channeling that sensual energy that you've got going on into kind of building the anticipation and doing things that kind of tease us to what's to come as a rather than like what you're going to jump into the bed and do immediately. I think that'll make it more fun and kind of make it feel like it's less of a denial and more of like building anticipation.
It's tough to speak to it from a woman's perspective, but from a man's perspective, I feel like the answer is pretty simple. You got to learn to give the trailer without giving the movie. And I feel like any man that is for you or is looking for a situation to last with you, if you don't give him the movie and he sticks around, then you have your answer. Because most guys, not all, but most come in wanting to see the movie and not caring about the trailer.
I may sound real old here. Maybe, I don't know, real conservative or what have you. But I'm so glad that this came up this morning because the timing of this couldn't be any better. I was going to talk about this in half an hour, but here we are talking about the value of sex, right? And specifically a first time. There has been a trend now that, like, for the last 6 months, that to me, I hate to even say it, but it, because it makes more of a statement than the actual physical thing itself. There has been a trend now where women are getting credibility online by sleeping with as many guys as they can in a short amount of time, right? We have seen this a couple of different influencers the last couple of months. One said she wanted to have sex with 100 guys in 24 hours. Then there was another woman saying she wanted to have sex with 1,000 guys, right? Then I'm reading this morning, there's an OnlyFans actress that she's got this bold plan is the headlining to bet a man from every country. Every country. And she's starting to get credibility, or not credibility, but she's starting to get likes, and online she's starting to gain a lot of traction. And I'm not exactly sure why this is bothering me so much. I don't have a daughter. I don't want to be here and try to put my values on people. But there's something here that is scratching at the surface that this is valuable now when I think, what am I trying to say? I'm not exactly sure what I'm trying to say. What I really want to say is that I really kind of find it gross. But there's something that is playing here underneath it that is so dysfunctional and unhealthy that we seem to be embracing that. I don't know. It's this specific thing really bothers me.
Yeah, I totally get that. But I don't think this is anything new. I think it's just jumping off from the restricted sites to more mainstream headlines. Like, I think nowadays when anybody can pull up a camera and become an OF star and make millions and millions of dollars, it's encouraging these women to be as outrageous as possible and do things to market people that might not be on those sites to find them on OnlyFans or other sites where adult content is found. And I know what you mean by saying it's gross. I think this is it's the same thing that's been happening for years as long as sex has been on the internet. It's just making its way to like the Daily Mail, which is at the end of the day, good marketing for them.
I think I'd probably be saying the same thing if this was a dude that was doing this as well, but somehow, some way, there's like a different attachment to it's almost like we expect guys to be pigs.
Well, so I think it's a two-pronged thing. I think you're right in that there is some underlying issues. Like, for mental health, a lot of people use sex for self-esteem boosting and things like that. So if you're coming here and saying, I want to do 1,000 men and I want the world to see it, like, I want to have a conversation. Like, are you okay? Are you in an okay place? If you're in an okay place, then go for it, girl. And I think that's how we treat men and women differently. Because I guarantee you, there are dudes with bucket lists for women in every country. There was a guy who used to walk down the hall who used to brag that he had bedded over 400 women. And people were like, ew, but we didn't have these big discussions about it because it's okay for men to do it, but not women.
I would say neither one of them are in an okay place. If you're a guy that's having sex with 400 women, you're not in an okay place. And if you're a woman whose goal is to go and have sex with 1,000 guys in a couple of months or bet as many guys with as many passports as possible, you're not in an okay place.
But maybe you are. Maybe you're just applying how you feel about sex and they just don't feel it that way.
I guess. And I guess I'm trying to be as open-minded as you are, but in all honesty, it's not a healthy place to be in.
I'm with you. And the increased risk for pregnancy or STDs, like it's something if my friend came to me and I would say, hey, let's go see a therapist first.
I felt like the culture has been over-sexualizing men, women. I just feel like we almost desensitized to sex at this point. Like, that's really what it's become. And I remember saying this years ago. I felt this way for a long time. It's just like, it's almost as if we're leading with that now. That's obviously always been there, but it's like, is that all there is and is there more? And I remember saying it and it was like mixed feelings from women. Some women were saying, Mo, I appreciate your old school values. Thank you for saying it. Whereas other women felt like, you know, it's not your business and it's whatever you want to do with your body. And I agree with that. So I kind of backed out of it. But at the same time, I completely understand what you're saying. I felt that way for a while. It's a little too much.
I think the difference here is also this is this woman's job, whoever is doing it. And I think if we're going to be politically correct for her to do sex work, if you were to do anything an extreme when it came to your work, if I was to spend 100 hours at the studio every single day, or if I was to compromise something about myself for a bit or any other aspect of my work, we would look at that as like, oh, that's almost like abusing yourself and abusing your time and abusing. It feels like abuse at that point, to where it almost feels like with these women doing these extreme acts for sex work, it's like you're overworking yourself to the point where it does start to feel like self-abuse.
Yeah, it does feel like self-harming. If somebody came in here and they were cutting themselves or they were online cutting themselves, they're being, oh my God, you need to get help, you need to get help, you need to get help. But isn't this emotional cutting?
No, because what's the difference, though, between like if I did come in here and bust my butt and stayed in the studio 20 hours a day and I made it big and I made headlines, everyone would be like, look at her work ethic. She wanted it and she got it. And these women, if this is their work is sex work and they're making headlines and they're making bank for that. If they don't have an emotional attachment to having sex and it's literally just a physical thing for them, then why would we? I understand it's not the same for everybody. And there are a lot of strings attached when you talk about that and religion. And not everyone feels that way. But you should be able to step back and be like, all right, if you want to go for it, as long as your mental health is in a good space, get it.
I guess I get into my head also on like, what are you teaching the girls that are online also, the young girls that are online, that they can, that this is okay, you can make more money and this is social, and this is acceptable.
Why isn't it though?
Because I think that there is emotional and psychological ramifications to doing that often and it not being an intimate experience at all.
Yeah. And I think there's emotional and physical ramifications to overworking yourself in any area. But I think to your point, I think what you're trying to say is, have we lost the plot that sex is more than just a physical act?
Mm-hmm. I also think when you listen to women who have lived that life at some point and then now they're out of it, they will speak to a lot of the struggles and things that they have now that they didn't realize they were going to have as they were doing it. And I feel like if more of those women were to speak up, it would send a message to the younger women that I think they need to hear.
The Burt Show. Real. Funny.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
About an hour and a half ago, this spades game between Mo and Katie on one side and our listeners Keani and Josh on the other side, undefeated Keani and Josh, started taking place. We weren't supposed to check in with you guys until the end of the show, so why are we all here?
Well, what happened was when we initially set the tournament up, it was going to be 3 games to 100. But once we got started, we realized doing it in between the breaks, we weren't going to have enough time to do a 3-game series. Mm-hmm. So we agreed on 1 game to 300, which is the standard way to play spades anyway.
Okay.
So at that point, it was agreed upon and we started playing. Now, Katie and I came out the breaks looking pretty good, if I say so myself, right? And at that point, we left the lovely married couple outside alone.
Who has just filed for divorce.
And somehow, I guess they got to talking about that 300 number that Katie and I were approaching rapidly.
So you guys had all agreed to that 300
number? We all agreed to the 300 number. Okay. Then we started playing. Like I said, Katie and I started approaching 300 fairly quickly. And at that point, there was some kind of renegotiation that they said needs to take place because now they would rather play to 500 instead of 300.
Keani, what's your side on that?
Listen, it's not enough time. They keep leaving. They got to work. Mm-hmm. We need to be focused.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we both dealing with that same problem?
Yep.
But it just messes with the chemistry.
Well, no. Everybody's playing on the same field.
Same field.
Mm. They got the same thing going on here.
Now, wouldn't you say that y'all actually have more time to work on the chemistry? When Mo and I come in here, we're back in work mode. You two are just, you know, you got your time to strategize.
Well, it seems valid.
Well, we don't got cocktails. I mean, it's a lot of different reasons, you know?
So, we got a bottle down the hall if that's what you want.
So let's go to 500 then.
So you guys are only good when you're buzzed?
Yes.
Oh, well.
Apparently, night, because, you know, we're playing in the morning. The excuses started coming out of nowhere. I mean, they started flying.
There's a slight breeze. I'm coming up. I got a temperature.
Now, I haven't sat in on a full spades game before, so is this common where one is winning and then the other one decides, like, wait a second, that's not exactly what we get, the switch up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is pretty common. This is how it goes. It gets loud. It sometimes people fight. It gets crazy. It gets crazy.
All right, so where are we at now? Like, who is winning and can, with the original rules, you know, even though there's no alcohol, it's not at night, with the original rules of getting to 300, how close are we?
Josh, you the scorekeeper. You remember the score?
170 to 250.
So, 170 to 250. And things can change fast.
Things can change, right? If they set Katie and I, they would be front runners in only one hand. Uh-huh. So it can change at any point. Mm-hmm. I just think they realize that the chemistry Katie and I have might be a little stronger than they anticipate.
Hold on.
I think that's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's about right to me, Mo.
Like, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, once you see the married couple start arguing a little bit, you know.
All right, so I think because, just in the interest of fairness, this mm-hmm. is what you guys said initially to 300.
Yes.
Even though there have been a lot of stops and starts,
uh-huh.
Mo and Katie have a lot of stops and starts also.
Yes.
So I think after Entertainment Buzz, you got to finish this whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, we might have lost two listeners today, but you guys will be the winner.
Wait a minute.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
From Miss Independent to Mr. Codependent. I'm talking about Neo, pop star Neo, who I know mainly from the hit single Miss Independent. Yeah, love him. But
was that the song you were doing?
Yeah, no,
right
I
there?
Actually couldn't remember the lyrics now that I think
that
about it.
That was Miss Dependent.
That was Miss Dependent on whatever Google is saying the beat is. So Neo is responding to some criticism that he's gotten of his new relationship. So he's recently divorced. He got divorced about 2 years ago, but since then, he has now enacted relationships with four women, and people are coming down on him for being polyamorous. And Mo, you said during the break that people say that, you know, you can't be a good parent if you're going to have four relationships with four different women.
Yeah, so at some point, Neo just decided to change his lifestyle, and he's been very open about it. And he decided that he wanted to date three women at one time, and then people had opinions, but then it kind of died down. And then he just recently announced that he's bringing a fourth into his life. And I don't know how that works. I don't know if every time you bring a new one in, you have to tell the ones you're currently dating. I don't know. But when he said that, women felt like it's one thing. Well, not only women, a lot of people felt like it's one thing to have a polyamorous relationship. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing as a father when your kids are looking up to this and your kids are seeing this. And what kind of message are you sending to your family? But Neo feels like it's my life. I have the means and the finances to do all that I'm doing. And he really does not care what people think about it.
Well, I guess the question is, what is the look of having a polyamorous relationship? Like, why would that be detrimental to your children?
God, we're doing a lot of value judging today.
We are, right?
So if everybody involved knows that this is the situation, then to me, it's like, these are adults right here. Now, if we're going to make an opinions on if this is healthy for the kids, is that what the argument is?
Yeah, because everybody pretty much agrees that if all the women agree to it, there's really nothing right there. But what about your children? What about, is this the example that you want to leave for your children who are watching you?
Well, the Mormons did it first, and they're more wholesome than all of us. You know, they won't even drink alcohol.
Yeah,
I don't. It wouldn't fit for me, that's for sure. And I'm always a little bit sensitive to who my kids see that I'm dating. If you're bringing one in after the other, after the other, after the other, I don't want them to grow up in that environment. In my house.
It wouldn't fit for me either, but I do admire the fact that Neo feels like, listen, this is my life, I'm standing on business, and I really don't care what anyone thinks about it.
How old are the kids, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Let me see.
I think he has younger kids, if I'm not mistaken.
So anybody that is divorced and then that has kids that starts dating somebody again, I think asks themselves, like, how serious is this before I bring them around my kids? Because you want to be sensitive that the kids aren't attaching themselves to this new person. Then the new person is gone, right? We have all had those talks when you're in a divorced couple. He doesn't seem to care.
No, he doesn't care at all.
He don't care.
Neo's living his life, and he says he's capable of doing all of the things that any other father would do. He just does it with a different lifestyle, and that's how he feels about it. He's standing on business.
His kids are aged 3 to 14, and I'm telling you, if you watch this video of all of his women backstage where he's, you know, performing and he comes back to give them all a little kiss, you might change your mind about the poly thing. These girls are baddies.
Nah, man, I don't care how baddie they are. It seems exhausting to me.
I don't know how he does it, but the man does, yes, and it is pretty funny when he gives all of them a little kiss before he goes out and performs one by one. It's a different lifestyle.
For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I can't think of many more times where a woman would feel as vulnerable and exposed in every sense of the word as Abby was yesterday.
Yeah, I had my vagina out yesterday at Sweet Peach to get a laser experience to, you know, remove hair.
Yeah, man.
It's there's a lot of vulnerable experiences you have as a woman. Getting lasered is one of them. And this kind of came at the perfect time because I'm going to Greece in a couple of months, and I have never done any kind of professional hair removal. It's always freaked me out. It's very sensitive down there. It seems very painful. Sure. But I knew, I'm like, I'm going to be in Greece for 7 days, and I plan on being in a swimsuit from the second I step foot on that island. And I was like, I can't be coming out full grizzly bear for like the next 7 days.
When is so this trip?
It's in September.
So how many of these sessions do you have to make sure that that doesn't happen in Greece?
You have to do, I think, six.
Six.
You have to go six times. So I was going to go wax. Kristen has a great endorsement with Sweet Peach. And I was like, I was going to ask her, be like, hey, girlfriend, you think they'll like hook me up with any kind of deal? And then lo and behold, perfectly, she actually sent us an email that they were going to gift some Burt Show members an experience to be able to try out their new laser hair removal product. And I was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to try this. I always thought it would be less painful than waxing. I've always been terrified to get waxing because it just seems really, really painful and scary. And so I immediately signed up because I know you have to get six sessions done and I know you have to wait like 5 weeks in between them. So I went yesterday and it wasn't that bad.
Really?
I mean, it's painful. I can't imagine it's worse than waxing, because waxing, you got to like slather on that hot wax and then they got to rip the hair out. And I'm sure you get used to it. For me, I'm a wimp.
Have you done waxing before?
I've never done waxing before. I get my eyebrows threaded, but that's like about the extent that I'll do in terms of hair removal.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not right in my head about body hair, right? So I've done waxing on the backside before.
Oh yeah.
Painful?
Is it painful?
Yeah.
It's awkward. It's painful and it's scary. It's the most awkward situation, man, because you literally have to, you're lying on your stomach, at least I was, lying on my stomach, and they are making you have to put a hand on both cheeks and keep them spread.
Okay? You have to do that part.
So, yeah, you have to do that part. So the wax, while they're waxing, you don't want all of it to kind of come together, or you could have some real problems.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
so it's, I hated it. I hated every second of it. And yes, it was painful, but I've also done the lasers on my arm years ago. And maybe, I don't think that I have a low pain tolerance level, but, and maybe it was a time when the creams weren't working as well as they do now, but just the arms itself, it was so freaking painful that every time I was in there, I was thinking, I can't believe women do this in those areas and underneath their arms.
Uh-huh.
I can't. So I never finished my treatment.
Yeah, imagine that on your nads. It's not comfortable. Although I will say, at Sweet Peach, they have like the brand new technology. Like, they were so excited to show me the machine. They're like, look, this just came out last March and like it hasn't been improved until now. And I'll be honest, she was asking me to rate it on a scale from like 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, how much it hurt. And then, and under my arms, it wasn't bad. It was probably like a 2 under my arms. You're kind of like, this isn't like super comfortable.
So they put the cream on first and then it numbs it all up?
They put like an ultrasound jelly on you. So I literally, I'm sitting there spread eagle on the table. I'm like, why do I feel like you're about to tell me if I'm having a boy or a girl? And so I put my arms up and she does that. And honestly, that's fine. Jocelyn, who did it to me, super sweet, chatting with me throughout the entire process. And then she goes, okay, open up. And then you got to like spread your legs. And she puts the gel on your private parts. And then she starts going strip by strip. And I will say that was slightly more painful.
Okay,
I put that at a 5.
I've got physical questions. I just don't want them to come off as creepy.
Okay. I'm going to give you the non-creepy warrant to ask.
The waiver?
Yes, the waiver.
I got a waiver?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you with both hands spreading everything, or is it just like hands on thighs and going into like a butterfly position?
No hands. Hands free. Like you're laying back and your legs are just open, and then
so like there's an exercise in the gym. It's called the clam exercise, where you have kind of your knees up and they just fall to the side.
Yeah, you just fall. No hands necessary.
Is that what you're doing in there?
Yeah. Just full on spread eagle. No hands. No touching.
Okay.
And then she's got the laser and she's going.
And literally, does she have to get into like every nook and cranny and stuff?
She did have to shave some of it. So she went in with a razor and I was like, be careful. It's expensive parts down there. I don't think those can be replaced. So she starts weed whacking a little bit. And then, yeah, she just starts going to town and the little hairs start jumping out. So
you can see.
Does it smell like they're burning?
Yes. And you can smell your hair burning. It does smell bad. I was like, did I fart? Did she fart? Is that my hair? And it really doesn't last that long. I mean, I was there at like 1:50. I was home by 2:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went down to Buckhead, but I live in Buckhead. So, I mean, it's quick. And I'm thinking about all the time I'm going to be saving, not weed whacking in the shower and walking out with my bathing suit and going, oh, missed a spot. I'm like so excited for the freedom it's going to give me that honestly, the small amount of pain I experience, going to be so worth it.
And do they say that because this was about 45 minutes, right?
Uh-huh.
So as you get closer to your sixth time, is it less time?
I don't know. Okay. I'm going back for my second one in April while we're on spring break. So I will update you if it gets better, if it gets easier, if it gets harder. I don't know if they have to like go deeper into the hair follicle, but
I've usually heard people say the first is the worst.
Okay, then I can do it. It really wasn't that bad.
On a pain scale of 1 to 10, with 10, the worst thing you've ever felt in your life, where was it?
My underarms were 2, very bearable. And then my lady bits were probably a 4 to a 5, depending on the region.
That's not bad. At max at a 5?
It's really not that bad. And I'm kind of a wimp. Like, I've avoided waxing for years. Like, I've specifically done my own shaving because of this. So I think if you've been a little bit afraid of it, I think laser is probably the way to go.
Okay.
All right.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Has she turned you around on it? You going to go in there now?
Still thinking. I'm closer to doing it, though, than I ever been before hearing you say it. Yeah, I might.
Okay. All right, let's put an exclamation point on there. On this. Mo, you want to explain what's been going on the last 2 hours for anybody checking us out this morning?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So we had a somewhat of a spades tournament in light of Black History Month, and Tommy went out and found some spades champions. Kiana and Josh, married couple, 10 years been married, have never lost in spades. They came in to challenge Katie and myself. We have not played together for quite some time, but the last time we did play together, we ended up winning a ring. So those championship rings that we had from our spades history were on the line as we both went outside in the hallway and competed for the last few hours.
Now, I just want to make it clear that Tommy didn't go out there and randomly find two people. They signed up. They're right. Like, hey, we've never lost before. We've been with each other for 10 years. Let's go, Mo. Let's go, Katie.
Right. I like their entry because, one, they just celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary. So
congrats.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it's the only one you're getting
on that anniversary trip. They were making people mad because they were taking down everybody in spades.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, here is the perfect couple to take down Mo and Katie.
All right, so they've been playing now for 2 hours. We said we would like this done by 10 o'clock. Apparently it is done by 10 o'clock. Y'all can take it from here.
Well, the game has concluded. And while I definitely enjoyed myself, I think I speak for Katie when I say that as well. You guys came in very, very confident. Mm-hmm. Undefeated, in fact. Mm-hmm. And started to look a little nervous after those first couple hands, and it turns out they should have been.
Okay.
Because we won.
Oh. The undefeated streak is over.
It's over.
It's over. What
happened?
The O got
to go.
What happened?
It's early. It's too early. It's supposed to be late.
Yeah.
We need a little drink.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The humidity is kind of bad outside. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
The AC was pumping in the hallway.
Right. You want a rematch now?
Anytime.
Wow. No, that last hand said it all.
I'm not a fan of rematches, man. I want you to live with that loss.
Y'all ain't even finished the game. Y'all threw the cards in before the game could be officially over.
Game was over.
Y'all look like y'all just ready to get out of here.
I heard it getting heated out there, even through like the plexiglass. And this is supposed to be a soundproof room.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of joking going on. Then I saw him get up pointing at you. Like, what is that all about? Something's getting heated out there.
What happened, y'all?
I got a little bit confused. My eyes started zerbiting. Mm-hmm. I thought the spades was the clubs, and the clubs and the spades.
Mm.
Well, really, that was the practice round.
This was the practice round.
You know, after this, we'll be ready.
Oh,
I told y'all, what did Eminem say? You get one shot, okay?
one opportunity.
That's it.
I appreciate you guys coming in
Thank you very much.
You did not steal the rings today.
Mm-hmm. No, not today.
No, not today. We keep the rings, but it was a pleasure. I enjoyed playing, and I'm really sorry to do that to y'all on y'all anniversary. That is great.
I appreciate you guys listening very much.
Thank you.
This is only going to make it worse for you guys now, because now there's going to be so many people wanting to challenge you guys. You're never going to be able to go out in public again with each other without somebody challenging you.
I see my DMs blowing up already.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.